When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Welcome to the Hotel Hell. Check-in time is now, check-out time is never.
It's Mike Shope.
Does my room have cable?
No. And the sheets are made of fire.
Can I change rooms?
Sorry, we're all booked up. Hell convention in town.
And the Bulldog.
Can I have a late check-out?
I'll have to talk to the manager.
You're not the manager, even in your own fantasy?
I'm the owner. The co-owner. With Satan.
It's Mike Shope.
Okay. Just so I understand it, in your wildest fantasy, you are in hell. And you are co-running a bed and breakfast with the devil.
And the Bulldog.
Yeah, but I haven't told you my salary yet.
Go.
$80,000 a year.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back, Football Friday. Our guest now on the West Shore Hotline has been a regular of ours for years. It's great to have him back. Check the mic with Steve and Sam on one of the best podcasts out there. Anti-Shouty Shows is right. We are completely simpatico on that. Sam Monson with us now on the West Shore Hotline. Sam, Happy New Year. Thanks for making time for us.
You too. How's it going, guys?
Going great. It's nice to talk to you again. Been a while.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Interesting year. I kind of feel like most of what, I'm not sure we've talked during the season, Sam. Most of what I would have expected for the Bills this year pretty much happened. Regression in turnovers, really don't get open down the field. You know, of course, there are always going to be injuries. James Cook did it again. Allen, you know. I don't think it was that surprising of a season. New England, however, has made this a very different playoff layout for the Bills. Would you say at least somewhat the same about the Bills' year?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, Buffalo's part of it is probably exactly as expected. It's just that in the context, the broader context, the Patriots had, you know, an amazing season and the easiest schedule in the NFL by a mile. And so they were able to cruise to a division win and, you know, a better seeding. So, yeah, I think Buffalo is pretty much the team that everybody expected. The question is, where does that fall on in the rest of the playoff landscape?
How fair do you feel, Sam? I mean, Mike just made the comment about the Shouty Shows, and I'm familiar with your work, of course, all these years we've been having you join us. This narrative that if not now, when? For the Bills. I'd have an easier time swallowing it entirely. I don't think it's absolutely unfair, but if they were like the one seed sitting at the top of the conference with this playoff field behind them, I'd feel like, of course, if not now, when? But their record tells you that they're not some super perfect team. This might be the worst of the era here since they've been a Super Bowl contender. But yet, Allen is a certain level of accomplished, and there is no Lamar, and there is no Burrow, and there is no, of course, Mahomes. Like, I don't know. How do you feel about this has got to be their time?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a pretty unfair narrative on them because it sort of implies that, look, this is like an easy run to the playoffs now because there's no Mahomes, there's no Joe Burrow, there's no Lamar Jackson. I don't think that's true. I mean, you look at the rest of the playoff teams, I think it's wide open this year. And, you know, really with the exception of Pittsburgh, you would say any of these teams in the playoffs are extremely formidable opponents and certainly no easy task for Buffalo to just roll over. So I think it's an unfair narrative being foisted on Josh Allen and the Bills because people only focus on the quarterbacks. And you look at the quarterbacks in this playoff picture, and it does look like it's a gift. You're missing out on three of the elite quarterbacks that are typically there most years, and instead those teams have been replaced by others. But the teams that are replacing them are not necessarily any worse than those teams. In fact, obviously this year they've been better. There's no better example of that, I think, than Jacksonville as their first opponent. you know, Jacksonville doesn't have the pedigree. Trevor Lawrence hasn't had the pedigree in the NFL. You've got to go back to his sort of status as a prospect to get to that elite level pedigree. And yet the way he's been playing the last month, 6 weeks or so of the season, I don't know that there's a better football team in the NFL than Jacksonville right now. So this is seen as, you know, Buffalo's year, and yet I think they've got a real task in their hands just to get by Jacksonville.
Yeah, I have felt for a few weeks, since they did a number on Denver before Christmas, Sam, that Jacksonville was the team I least wanted the Bills to draw, and here they are. So let's get into them a little bit, if you would. Like, what are the strengths and the weaknesses? Because this is a team that absolutely turned on a dime with Liam Cohen showing up.
Yeah, I mean, they're a complete football team right now. And most of the things improved almost immediately with Liam Cohen's arrival. But the real thing that makes them dangerous right now is that Trevor Lawrence has suddenly joined the rest of the team. And that took longer. That was the one thing I think that everybody thought Liam Cohen would be able to move the needle on pretty much immediately. And it didn't happen for, you know, the first half, even more than that of the season. The run game was better. The defense was better. But Trevor Lawrence was not. He was basically still the same inconsistent, average, above average quarterback that he'd been for most of his NFL career. And then sometime after that, down the stretch, a switch flipped. And from that moment on, Trevor Lawrence has been playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, playing like a guy who should be paid $55 million a year. And if that stays the case, well, then this team is really scary because the rest of the stuff was already good. The run game was already good. The defense was already good. The offensive line is already in good shape. You can also point to the acquisition of Jacoby Myers as well, a wide receiver. They kind of, the switch flipped for Lawrence kind of at the same sort of time. So it's always difficult to, you know, figure out cause and effect there. But with those two in the lineup and playing the way they're playing right now, this team is serious.
With Sam Monson, is there anything more to how the proverbial switch was flipped here with Lawrence? They also played a pretty light schedule most of the way from the second half on. After their bye, they lose in London in week 7 to the Rams, and that was pretty ugly. They get the bye, and then they win out except for one loss to Houston from there on. You mentioned Myers, Sam. Is there anything else you've noticed about what they're doing, whether it's pass-run ratio or, I don't know, anything, play action, shotgun, whatever it is? What is Jacksonville doing that really helped make Lawrence work?
No, I don't think they changed anything dramatically to make this easier on him. I think Myers is definitely an acquisition that helps. You know, he's a reliable, dependable receiver. Jacksonville's receivers up until this point had not, you know, he still has an incredibly high drop rate on the season. Trevor Lawrence, Myers has one of the best drop rates in the NFL as an individual receiver, basically throughout his entire career. So that was going to help that area. The route running precision, just his reliability and dependability as a receiver helps. They've also gotten a couple of guys back healthy. You know, Brenton Strange, a tight end, came back. These things have helped as well. But I don't think it's any one thing that they've done to transform Trevor Lawrence into a better quarterback. I think he's just suddenly hit a purple patch. And, you know, it's not the first time he's done that. I mean, we're up to, you know, almost double digits of occasions in his career where people are asking the question, has Trevor Lawrence turned the corner? So it's not the first time that's happened, but it's getting towards the longest stretch of play that you could make that argument for. So, you know, if this is it for real, then the Jags, I think, are a different proposition.
They did outgain the Rams, by the way, in that Week 7 London game by a pretty good number, even though they lost 35-7, for whatever that's worth. Sam Monson with us here on the Westher Hotline. Back to the Bills, Sam. So we every day, it's about what they are at wide receiver, and this has gone on for at least a couple of years now, whether they've invested enough, have enough talent around Josh Allen. How do you see it? Like, what they've done, you know, simply since Joe Brady took over, is they've been more of a run-first team, and James Cook did lead the league in rushing. To you, is it advisable? Like, is this the kind of team they should be given their personnel, or have they maybe missed on how they've built this?
I think it's about being able to win playoff games. And this is the tricky thing with analyzing the Bills and how they've been, you know, put together, and whether Brandon Bean is correct or not when he gets upset about the questions. It's, yeah, overall, they're in good shape, and they've been in good shape for years, and that's why they're going to win, you know, 12 games most seasons, and most of the times that's been good enough to win the division, and you're in great shape. But because they're going to be – because that's the baseline, the analysis or the sort of nitpicking about the roster becomes, all right, but what about the next four games? And that's where people are focusing on when they're criticizing the way that this roster is – constructed or the potential weaknesses that it has. It's like, yeah, you don't need a true outside number one difference making receiver that can beat man coverage in most games throughout the regular season. Like, you're good enough because you got Josh Allen, because you got Dalton Kincaid, you've got James Cook, and you've got, you know, a decent roster overall. So in most games, it doesn't really matter that you don't have that guy. But it might matter when you get to the playoffs, and that guy might be the difference between, you know, one play to beat Kansas City or not, or, you know, in this season, one play to beat Jacksonville or any of the other teams are going to be playing. So this is when we get a better idea of how much of a problem it is. We've already seen it at times this season where there have been games where Allen suddenly starts playing that kind of, you know, 10-second time to throw hero ball where he's just running around trying to find something. And nobody's open. And those are the problems, right? Teams know that they can play aggressive man coverage against this team because they don't have that guy that can get open consistently. And, you know, Allen is capable of finding something anyway because he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And, you know, they have individual players that can make plays occasionally. But those are the concerns. It's like against the better opposition in the playoffs, are you going to have enough at the wide receiver position?
You mentioned Kincaid within all of that analysis, Sam, and like it's been a very uneven season health-wise for him. He's very much been on a load management type of thing, even when he's dressed for games. But his impact when he is on the field seems extremely positive. So I feel like and he's got a clean bill. He's not even on the injury report. No game designation anyway for the game. So they're expecting him to play. I don't know if that'll mean, you know, I don't know, 40% of the snaps. That feels like about the ceiling this regular season. But he might be the key to the whole thing for them, I think.
Yeah, I think he absolutely is. I think he's critical to their offense. I think, number one, he makes a big difference when he's out there. And number two, I think he's the best of those players that are sort of all trying to operate in the same area in terms of their best usage, their best skill set within the offense. So, yeah, I think Kincaid being there is a huge thing for this offense.
With Sam Monson. So what about this matchup that we haven't covered yet maybe is interesting to you? I know, for one thing, Jacksonville has this great run defense where nobody's run for 75 yards against them, or more than that anyway, this year. But James Cook was about at 100 yards a week. Do you like one side or the other there? Is there something else about this matchup that makes you lean one way or the other?
I think both run games are pretty interesting, actually. Like you said, Jacksonville's is very good. Buffalo, I think, will want to run the ball as much as they can, you know, try and take the pressure off that pass game and not have Josh Allen play Superman the entire time, like only tap into that when they need to. And then the other side of it, Jacksonville's run game is really good, and Buffalo's run defense is not really good. And the thing, you know, they've been interesting this season because if you wanted to point to kind of one area where Buffalo season kind of ran off the rails a little bit, like they had that crazy streak of 30 games or whatever it was of winning the turnover battle every single week, and then suddenly that disappeared. And that's part of the logic of how this run defense is built as well. Like, they will give up a lot, but that's not necessarily a bad thing all the time. It's kind of by design, right? If you give an opponent a 12 play drive and they're chewing up the ground or chewing up the clock and chewing up plays on the ground and only rattling off, you know, 5 yards for a carry or whatever, they're not scoring on most of those plays, and they're giving the defense another opportunity to get a turnover somewhere down the line. And for a long time, Buffalo was extremely good at doing that, getting the turnover and then offsetting all that yardage that they gave up. But if that dries up, then you're just giving up a lot of ground or a lot of yardage on the ground. And Jacksonville's a team that can turn you know, small run plays into big run plays. They're explosive on the ground. They want to run the ball. They're good at it. So I think that's an area that Buffalo needs to either get the turnovers in the game or figure out a way of clamping down more on that run game.
It's really interesting that the Bills had that season last year. They haven't had it this year. The team they're playing on Sunday has had that season this year.
Yeah.
Jacksonville's taken it away like crazy. And so, I mean, I don't know. What is it really to say? This game could boil down to who turns it over and who doesn't. But that's a big swing in this game. Jacksonville has really lived a lot off of that on defense, I think.
Yeah, and it came down to earth a little bit. I mean, they were operating at a completely ridiculous level earlier in the season, and it did regress a bit, but it's still been definitely a huge strength of the team.
Sam, which game coming up this weekend are you most looking forward to?
I like them, almost all of them. I feel like the Rams and the Panthers game is likely to be the most lopsided. I feel like I know the Panthers beat the Rams already, but I really can't see a way that repeats itself. Outside of that, I think all the games are pretty fun.
Is there an underdog you like? San Francisco, we were realizing earlier in the show, is up to +6 in Philadelphia. That's a serious move toward the Eagles. So they would be the second biggest dog of the weekend behind Carolina. Everybody else is pretty close. Is there an upset you like?
Yeah, I mean, definitely I don't trust the Eagles enough to give them that number of points against pretty much anybody. I think their offense is just too inconsistent for that. Green Bay-Chicago game is really interesting as well. I mean, the two previous meetings for those teams have literally come down to the final play on both occasions, and they've gone one direction and then the other direction. Caleb Williams had the ball in his hands trying to score the winning points in both of those games, and on one occasion he got it done. On the other occasion he threw an interception and ended the game that way. So I kind of feel like that's going to come down to the same sort of dynamic again. It's going to be nip and tuck and one play at the end for whoever's got the ball last. And it's usually been, I mean, both those games followed the same pattern as well. Green Bay looked the better side, got out to a lead, and then Caleb Williams brought them back. So I would lean Green Bay in that game as well, even though they're obviously the lower seed and lower down in the standings.
Spread's only 3.5. How do you like the Chargers at New England on Sunday night, Sam?
The Chargers, I think, are a fascinating team. I honestly think Justin Herbert has an MVP case based off how he's played this season. That offensive line is utterly ridiculous. It's terrible. It's the worst offensive line in the NFL. They've had the most offensive line combinations of any team in the NFL, and that doesn't even count the Pro Bowl left tackle they lost before the season started in Rashawn Slater. So the way Herbert has been able to play despite that offensive line has been genuinely insane. The Patriots will get pressure on him because the line's so bad, everybody will get pressure on him. But it hasn't mattered in a lot of games this season. So, yeah, I think as long as they've got Justin Herbert playing at the level he's playing at right now, they're absolutely live underdogs.
Sam, while we have you for like 2 or 3 more minutes, so many coaching changes in the NFL. I think it may be 8 teams that have vacancies right now, so a quarter of the league. Baltimore and Miami are two of the more fascinating ones. Is Miami a team where like a good candidate would want to go? Is that a, like, who knows with Tua? How appealing is that job?
I don't think it's that appealing for a couple of reasons. Number one, you mentioned Tua. That's a problem. I mean, his contract is still there. You're kind of stuck with him. You probably can't go back to him as a starter based off how this season went. I don't know that you can give the keys to Quinn Ewers either off the back of an extremely small sample size. And, you know, it was 7th round draft pick, I think he was this year. That would be a tough sell. So you got to go try and find a quarterback from somewhere without, you know, necessarily the salary cap flexibility to get the guy you would want. And then I don't feel like the Dolphins are a particularly well-run organization year on year. I mean, aside from anything else, like a quarter of the decision makers that they have in the room deciding on the new general manager and then the new head coach are Dan Marino and Troy Aikman. And it's like, okay, Dan Marino, sure, he's got obviously an all-time great for the franchise, but like, I don't know what particularly useful insights Dan Marino is currently bringing to the setup based off his knowledge of, you know, league-wide movers and shakers from the general manager candidate pool. And I kind of feel the same way about Troy Aikman. I mean, he's a commentator. Troy Aikman, I don't think, is particularly well tapped into the front offices throughout the NFL. Those are not, you know, particularly focused, shrewd decision-making processes that they have in place. Plus, you know, owner and the owner's son-in-law or whatever it is. It's just, it is not a particularly direction or a particularly smart directed franchise. So whoever is going in there is dealing with a quarterback problem. Who knows what the decision making tree looks like? I think you've got a lot to navigate as the coach there.
Is there a coaching opening candidate combo that you like at this point? Like someone that you think is just the right guy for any of these jobs that are available currently?
So a lot of this would depend on, it would kind of depend on the interview that he gave. But I think just from an X's and O's standpoint, Brian Flores in Baltimore would be a really, really interesting fit there. Flores obviously has done incredible work as the defensive coordinator in Minnesota, but that's not the reason that he doesn't have a head coaching job. You know, and the reason he doesn't have a head coaching job, in fact, there's multiple reasons. Number one, the first time went pretty spectacularly badly. Not if you just looked at the wins and losses. His record actually isn't that bad, but everybody hated him by the end of that stint, like including everybody that worked for him, and that's not good.
Yep.
So plus you have the added kind of context of him suing the NFL and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot to get through to appoint Brian Flores as a head coach. But if you sat him down in an interview and you were convinced that he had learned from that first stint, that the lawsuit is not a major distraction or a major problem from your point of view, X's and O's wise, I think he'd be an amazing fit there.
Very good. Sam, it's so great to talk to you again. I'm sure you'll enjoy the playoffs. Thanks for your time today.
Anytime. You too, guys.
Take All right. Easy. You're welcome. Sam Monson, Check the Mic. His podcast with Steve Palazzolo is one of the best out there. It is Football Friday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here at 803-0550. Last call for your takes on Sunday. We will be on after the game, but don't tell us after the game what you think will happen in the game, because that's
That'd be
meaningless.
Weird. Yeah.
We need a break so badly. This break is brought to you by Snapdragon Apples, the official apple of the Buffalo Bills.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Most of the things improved almost immediately with Liam Cohen's arrival, but the real thing that makes him dangerous right now is that Trevor Lawrence has suddenly joined the rest of the team, and that took longer. That was the one thing I think that everybody thought Liam Cohen would be able to move the needle on pretty much immediately, and it didn't happen. For, you know, the first half, even more than that of the season, the run game was better, the defense was better, but Trevor Lawrence was not. He was basically still the same inconsistent, average, above-average quarterback that he'd been for most of his NFL career. And then sometime after that, switch flipped, and from that moment on, Trevor Lawrence has been playing like one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Sam Monson just before. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Sal Capaccio at 5. Those of you, sorry, tuning in today, this hour, hoping for the line coming up in about 10 or 12 minutes. Yeah. The line has returned to its regular position on Thursdays.
It's a Thursday feature. Yeah.
The last 2 weeks, we didn't have shows on Thursdays because of the holidays. So, wow. I'm so lucky. The line on Friday.
Mm.
But not today.
We found a way to fit it in. Even with all the Snapdragons and injured.
On Friday?
Everything. Yeah.
The last 2 weeks?
It's amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Really.
That's the job sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Alan is next. Hello, Alan.
Hi, guys. How are you doing today?
Good, man. Thanks
Pretty
for calling.
Pretty good, except the vending machine has been broken here for 4 days, and I can't get my vitamin water.
Oh, man. Is that for real? You should have called me. I would have come and fixed it for you. But I hope you get your vitamin water soon.
Thank you.
And I love you guys' show, by the way. And
thank you, Alan.
I especially like when you bring your guests on. I love your guests, and I love your interviews with your guests. They're fantastic.
Nice.
I get a lot of insight listening to people from other cities.
Cool.
That's the idea. Thank you.
And around the league. Yeah, it's wonderful, man. So this Jaguars game, you know, the narrative I've been hearing throughout the week, it seems a little negative toward our Buffalo Bills. The number one is, Josh Allen, you know, he's got no excuse now. All the big guns are out of the race. You know, he better win it or he's never going to win anything in his life. And with that, I say, you know, Josh Allen plays best under pressure. I think we can agree on that. And I don't think that's an issue. But look, there's been a regime change in the AFC, and you know people need to wake up and see that. It is what it is. new people come on board, and that's how that goes. So we have new challenges ahead. As far as the Jacksonville game goes, you know, all I keep hearing about is, you know, hey, there's no reason for the Bills to be a point and a half favorite in this game. Jacksonville's a better team. They're on an 8-game winning streak. They got all the juice. They got all the magic. They got the great receivers, this and that. And, you know, I just remind myself that I was at the game last year, Monday night, when we blew them out. And, yeah, I know. We've turned it around. We went from, 3-14 to 14-3. Great coaching, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, look, this is his coach's first playoff game. And I think that matters a lot. And you know, I think the Bills are a very good team. And they have playoff experience. And I think, really, even though we probably have never won a road playoff game, perhaps, under Sean McDermott, but still, I think the Bills are a fine team. I think the Bills are going to win this game and move on into the playoffs. What do y'all think?
Well, I hope you're right, Alan. I mean, the narrative stuff, we talked a little bit about this with Sam Monson, and we've talked about it on and off really kind of all week, how fair or unfair it is. I mean, the entire thing is dipped in the idea that it's preparing for the fallout if the Bills do lose. Because of, so that is not the same as, I think the Bills are going to lose. Like, I'm not hearing a lot of people tell you, like, I'm thinking of the national guys that get everybody all wound up here. I'm not hearing a lot of the Bills are going to lose. It's like, look out if they do lose. And that's subtly different. It's not exactly the same as saying you're predicting they're going to lose. It's more you think there's going to be consequences if they do because of no Mahomes and no Lamar and no Burrow, et cetera. And so I don't know. I haven't exactly – and I don't – mostly the only exposure I have to that content is people who I like and follow on Twitter commenting on it or quote tweeting it. It's not content that I seek out because I like to do this from a standpoint of not having all of that – sort of working on me. I don't want to walk in the door and do a show with Mike about what Colin Cowherd said today. I just said we may end up stumbling into it.
Never right. Will.
It's just not. It's not interesting to me professionally to do it that way. But I mean, that's all just out there, just because of the Bills having been a contender for this long and having not gotten over the hump. So that's just how the machine works, really. And not that you're asking me how the sausage gets made necessarily, but I wouldn't put a lot of stock in that because that is not the Bills are going to lose. It's what if they do? And those are they're not very different. They're subtly different. And I think it's important to know the distinction.
The caller mentions the regime change, as he put it, in the AFC. And I like that. Because for the last couple of years, we've talked about the teams like the Bills who've won their respective divisions as almost like locks. That Mahomes is 27. He's not going away. Lamar Jackson is 26. He's not going away. Burrow is whatever. And we're like 2 or 3 years past that now, where I think we're at a point with Jackson, at least, with Allen soon, with Mahomes maybe also, especially because of his injury, where I think it's a different conversation now. Mm-hmm. And Burrow's been hurt a lot, too, so I don't know what his shelf life is as a player. But those 2 years have changed a few things. Their careers and what we might think they're good for going into their 30s. And also, now here's New England with Drake May at a younger age. And here's, what is May, 23? Knicks and Denver. I guess you could use Stroud. Lawrence is older, but not that much older. You know, Lawrence is probably younger than Allen by a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
So you have new players in more ways than one who have established sort of a new standard in the conference. And I'm not thinking about next, in terms of the Bills anyway, fantasy, yes, but in terms of the Bills, I'm not thinking about next year yet at all. Other than the fact that we have to deal with people who want to know what the coaching staff is going to be like next year and GM and et cetera. Other than that.
Even before this game gets played.
Right. Other than that, I'm not thinking about it really at all. But, you know, listening to the caller, like, I'm kind of thinking, who's favored in the AFC East in 2026 or the AFC West? who's favored to win these divisions?
Yeah.
Like, maybe it isn't the Bills. Maybe it isn't the Chiefs. Maybe it is. What's Kansas City's win total likely to be next year? I mean, are they right back to like 11.5? It seems high. Chargers are in the playoffs on 11 wins themselves, let alone Denver. So I think we've moved from, which is made, this also is a, can be a commentary on like how this year is so vital, but we've moved from, all right, there's the Bills and these teams, and then there's everybody else. And now it's more like half the conference is together with the Chiefs and the Ravens and maybe the Bengals. And then also these teams that are in this year at 11 or 12 wins. That is, you know, right. Like next year, it's a bigger playing field, I think, for what we're trying to do.
Oh, it absolutely, it has to be. I mean, that'll be, I mean, I can wait to get there, but I don't think I've ever been as curious to see, like, after the dust all settles, right? February comes and goes and you have your champion and your parade and all of it. Like, what does that look like right out of the box? And then as the spring and summer evolve, because, you know, what do the books want to do, right? They're not going to want to give you a great price on the Chiefs because everyone's just going to go nuts for it. Be like, oh, well, he'll be back, and they'll be back, and it's Bo Nix. They were lucky, you know, 18-point comeback against the Giants and whatever. Like, go down the list of close shaves that the Browns, just one team specifically had there. You know, New England had the soft schedule, all that. I mean, so did the Bills, really, outside of, you know, just the crossover, a couple of games that were different. Otherwise, the Bills played the same kind of soft schedule, really, that New England did. They just lost a couple games that I want to say they should not have lost. I mean, the teams that just were not in their class, Miami and Atlanta specifically. I don't care how strong Atlanta finished. That was not a good team this year, and they kind of manhandled the Bills. And those things leave marks. But, yeah, it is kind of – we're in a playoff cycle here that's wide open, and it sort of tells you that the future should at least be some – degree of that as well. You know, moving forward, it should be less certain. There'll be a lot less authority behind this team and this team and this team rule the roost because, you know, I guess maybe depending on how the playoffs go, right? I mean, that of course has an impact on it. If the Chargers upset New England and the Bills go on a run, they're absolutely going to be favored to win the division again. I think they were only a game back as it is. And they split head-to-head, so it's not nutty. Right? It was a game, right? Or was it two in the end?
What's that?
The Bills and the Patriots. What was separating them? Two. Okay, yeah, right, 14-12 win total. Okay.
Lots of thoughts are flying around right now. This game, this playoff season, this offseason, the future. I was feeling perky. Last night.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
For a moment.
Perky?
And I texted, And I texted Sneaky Joe, would you take a Bills Super Bowl win and have Josh Allen immediately retire? And he said, definitely.
Really?
Pressure's on. Definitely.
I love Joe. I'm definitely not a definitely.
You're indefinitely.
I'm a try to enjoy the ride. I'm cleats.
Cleats. That's funny. You're so.
If you weren't with us earlier,
Liam Cohen pilled.
That's my guy.
Cleats.
He's my leader.
What is it again?
Character. Hang on.
Confidence.
Let me get to pull up the screen grab that I have of it, and I'll tell you.
Losing is bad. Excellence.
Right.
Commitment,
love, energy, authentic, tough, smart. That's cleats.
Would put smart last.
That's Liam Cohen's.
Should be first.
What is that? It's slogan, I guess, is the best I can do.
It's an acronym, right?
Yeah, thank you. Right. The initials, right. Yeah.
Put smart first, but then it'd be skleet. That wouldn't be catchy like this is catchy.
Right.
All right, Alan, there you go. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. Sal Capaccio at 5. It's Football Friday on WGR.